Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And the truth of it is that we can be the people that God wants us to be. With God's help, you can be that man, you can be that woman, you can be that Christian that God would have you to be. What a blessing and song. Proverbs chapter 23. If you look there with me, we're going to be reading verse 24 down to verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23. Book of Wisdom. And I believe it's the wisdom that God shares here concerning a father, a man. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Proverbs chapter 23, starting verse 24. The Bible says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of them, of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." My son, give me thine heart. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for what we've already received, and first and foremost, just sensing your presence in this place. Thank you for the joy of just being able to assemble in your name, to worship you in spirit and truth, for the blessing of music, singing congregational songs, and then being ministered to by the special music. And thank you for each one that participated in that today. But now, Father, as we open up your holy word, that which you have preserved for all humanity to know the truth about who you are and your will for our lives, I just pray, God, that you would empower it today. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth once again your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My son, give me thine heart. As a father, I would ask you the question this morning, do you have the heart of your children? That's something we ought to be mindful of. Do you have the heart of your children? The heart must be developed. It's the core of any person. Not just that body organ, but it's the core, the makeup of everyone. Without God and godly influences, all will go in the way of the world. And the world is against that which God has established. The world represents the opposite. New Testament Christianity will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And it will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. We know this. I want you to look in Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4. And in Malachi, of course, God gives much insight to the New Testament church through the prophet Malachi. And he speaks of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the John the Baptist, who would come, and he would be coming in like form of an Elijah. And Malachi chapter 4, in verse 5 and 6, the very last two verses of the Old Testament, preparing us for the New Testament truths, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, we understand that to be John the Baptist. He's coming as an Elijah. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." God's will is for the father's heart to be turned toward their children, and to the children's heart to be turned toward their fathers. And then, if you will, let me just read it to you, write it down if you'd like, but Luke in chapter 1, as we find the prophecy concerning the coming of John the Baptist, and this is what the Bible says about it in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, verse 17. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What John was establishing, he would be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was preparing them to receive the message of Christ, which is the message of New Testament Christianity. And so what John was doing is exactly what Jesus Christ came to do as well. He was a forerunner. He prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. And part of what he would do in preparing the way for the Messiah, and exactly what Jesus Christ in New Testament Christianity will do, he shall go before him and in the spirit and power of Elijah, but to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's a powerful understanding right there. So without God and godly influences, all will go in the way of the world. But God has established New Testament Christianity, and New Testament Christianity, if a person looks to that, will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the children, if they are raised in New Testament Christianity, if they get a hold of this, it will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Exactly the way that God designed it. Because that's the first thing I want to share with you this morning is God designed it that way. Ephesians in chapter 6. Now again, we find here the proverb, the wisdom is the father's heart. Now, as we look at the book of Proverbs, it's a father writing to his son. Solomon writing to his son, but more than Solomon writing to his son, it was God writing to his children. God writing to you and I to understand that God wants our hearts. And God wants you to give your heart to him. Amen. And so we find here that this very same principle, the very same concept, that God wants the children of men to turn their hearts to him, God would have the children of Christians, Christian families, the Christian fathers, to turn their hearts for their children and for their children to turn their hearts to their fathers. And so Ephesians in chapter 6, we find verses 1 and 2, 1 through 4 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This is how God established it. Now God has done his part. God has instilled within every child a desire to look to their parents. But yet he instructs them, and by instructing the children to obey their parents, he's really instructing the parents to realize this is what children need to do. This is what children need to be taught. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." It's the commandments of God that children turn their hearts to their parents and that children honor and obey them, "that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." Children need to be brought up. "Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." As children need to be brought up and influenced by the position of a mother and a father. That is how God designed it. Now, we don't have time to go into the position of both mothers and fathers because we dealt with the mothers on Mother's Day. We're dealing with the fathers on Father's Day. But this would go, God has a designed position for everyone. He had designed the family. God designed the family. God designed the positions in the home. And it's God's design that as a mother and father that the children are to be raised by both of you and they are to look to your example and you are to desire the hearts of your children. And so we find here the position of the father is to take the lead. No matter what society says, no matter what society has ever said, the word of God is the same. As God designed the home, he's designed the father to be the head of the house, to be the leader in the home. And this takes place, first of all, spiritually. As the father gives his heart to God, amen, then God will strengthen him so that he might look to his children and his children would give their hearts to him. And we follow God's example. As fathers today, God wants us, the men, to take to lead in the home. First of all, the most important responsibility that every man has is found in Matthew 22, 37, when Jesus was teaching the entire Old Testament law, and he says this, break it down to two, but the most important law that God wants humanity to realize, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the man, the leader in the home, needs to do. And if you truly love God with your heart and your soul and your mind, then you will be that leader in the home that God wants you to be. You don't have to establish your dominance. You don't have to tell people you're the leader in your home. If you love God, then you will automatically learn how to lead your family. You can be the man that your wife needs. You can be the husband. You can be the father that your children need to look to. And when you are following after Jesus Christ, then you give them something that they can turn their heart toward. You make it easy for your wife to follow your lead by being Christ-like. And you make it easy for your children to give you their hearts by being Christ-like. In all that you do, the first and most important thing for every man in this world is to look to God and love Him with your entire being. The second most important thing for the man, if we look at the position that God's given to you, is when you get married, then you are to be that husband that God wants you to be. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. If you truly have given your heart to God and you understand what Jesus did for the church, you'll be willing to sacrifice whatever you need to sacrifice in loving your wife. Amen. And can I tell you that loving your wife is loving your children's mother? Amen. Loving your children's mother sets an example for your children that will last a lifetime. And then as a father, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's how God designed it. God designed the home. He designed the positions in the home. And it's all so that we might be able to have an environment whereby children will want to give their hearts to their parents, and parents, their hearts will be toward their children. And you find a place of refuge. A place of refuge. But understanding God designed it, it will come down to every child eventually having to make that decision on their own. At some point as we grow, we will make the decision on where we're going to place our hearts. Who will they give their heart to? Every parent ought to be considering that. Every parent ought to be mindful that at some point, when that child reaches a certain age, a certain place in their lives, they will give their heart to something. Is it to you? Is it to God? Because if you're raising them the way God would have you to, it is raising them to love the Lord. Amen. With all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. You can know this: a sin nature will choose the world. Every child born is born with a sin nature. And if left to themselves, they will yield to the sin nature. And if they yield to the sin nature, they will choose the ways of the world. Romans in chapter 6. Look over there with me. Romans in chapter 6. Are we mindful? Are we mindful of our children giving us their hearts? That's what this is based on. This is the understanding. This is what the book of Proverbs is trying to help us to understand as fathers. Do you have the hearts of your children? Romans in chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey. And you will yield to that. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You see, because now the child has a chance to choose something other than the sin nature. If the child is not introduced to the ways of God, if the child is not introduced to an example of Christianity, then they are going to choose the world. But when they have, when they are introduced to a more powerful thing to give their heart to, when they're introduced to the love of God, when they're introduced to the person of Jesus Christ, then they will have this choice that they will make to give their heart to Christ, to give their heart to how you've raised them to love God. And so that's what the Bible's saying. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. When you didn't have the choice, all you have was a sin nature. The sin nature will lead you to sin and to follow the ways of the world. And so be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. It has to be delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness because you gave your heart to righteousness. And when your child gives their heart to righteousness, it makes for a joyful mom. It makes for a joyful dad. Praise the Lord for that. But listen to me, a sin nature will choose the world unless influenced not to. You have a child before you, and you get out candy, and you get out vegetables. How many think that that child is going to choose the vegetables? If they've tasted candy, I guarantee you they want candy. If you let that child choose for themselves before they have grown to an understanding of what candy will do to them eventually. You see, candy would offer temporary enjoyment. And they would not stop eating as long as there's candy there if you let them. And that temporary enjoyment would turn to a pretty awful night. And it will turn into a lot of cavities. It'll turn into something that is not so joyful. But the vegetables, as an adult realizes, it offers long-term benefits. It offers long-term healthy choices. Amen. And so that child left to himself is going to follow the old nature, the sinful nature. But the parent, knowing that, is not going to offer that child a choice.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the parent ought to understand that what candy will do long term and what the healthy choices will do long term, and the parent's love for that child will determine what that parent allows that child to choose. That's raising them. That's bringing them up. That is helping them to develop right thinking. Yeah. A sin nature which your child has. I know you don't want to believe that. But it's true whether you believe it or not. Every child is born with a sin nature and will go the direction of that sin nature unless a more powerful influence is introduced. And the parent is there to introduce a more powerful influence based on not temporary enjoyment, but long-term, healthy choices for life. My son, give me thine heart. It's how God designed it. It's what every person will one day choose for what you give your heart to. So lastly, this morning, what can I do? Back over in our text. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. That father ought to want their child to be righteous, because righteousness will cause the father to rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. You want your children to make wise choices. You want your children to use wisdom. And when they make wise choices, they use wisdom, it brings joy and blessings to the home. God's plan was the children to bring joy and blessings to the home. And if you raise them right, they will continually be a joy. They will continually be a blessing to the parent. That's what the Bible's telling us there. The father and the mother, thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. But it comes down to verse 26. A child will have to give you their heart at some point. You're going to lose the authority. At some point, you're going to lose the opportunities that you have in raising them. When that time comes, will your children give you their heart? What can I do? You see, the first thing that we need to realize is you cannot lose sight of the importance of discipline. They need to be raised. They need to be brought up. Proverbs chapter 22, just right across the page there in verse 15, it says this: foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How many say, amen, I know that. Yes. Yeah. Foolishness is bound. It's there. Now, where does it come from? It comes from a sin nature. But it's in that child. There's never been a child outside the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not have an earthly father. He did not have a sin nature. But every other child that's ever been born has been born with a sin nature, and because of that sin nature, they have foolishness within their hearts. And if left to themselves, they will yield to that sin nature. They will yield to eventually the things of the world, and they will turn away from God. But it goes on to say, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Yeah. Children are to obey. When they don't obey, the wise parent needs to realize that's foolishness in the heart of that child coming out. And the wise parent, because I love that child and I want that child, when they do come to that certain age, when they will make a choice on where they're going to give their heart to, I have done everything I can in my power to help them to make the right choice. If you are not disciplining your children based on the very words of an almighty creator God who designed the family, if you are not disciplining your children when they disobey you, if you are not disciplining your children when they dishonor you, listen to me, you are not raising them to give their heart to you. You're raising them to give their heart to foolishness. Because it's bound in your child. And God says the only way to get it out is to correct them. Chapter 23, verse 15 and 16. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Verse 26 is a very powerful verse. My reins. Not only should we discipline them, not only should we correct our children, but we ought to have reins on our children. The reins, when you think about the reins on a horse, if you're a horseback riding, you have the reins that come up, and inside that mouth of that horse, there's bit, and you pull on that rein, and it causes a little bit of discomfort, but that horse will turn by the way of the rein. And you reign over that horse and you get that horse to do what you want it to do. And the Bible says when you are raising your children as God would have you to raise your children, not only do you have correction, but you have reins over them. That means you are directing them in the paths of righteousness. You are in control of what they do and where they go. You have control of what they read, what they listen to, what kind of filth is coming into their hearts and their minds. You have a reign over them. You do not just open it up and say, well, here's a cable and watch whatever you want to watch. Here's a computer. Go to whatever computer site you want to go to. Here's it. Make your own choices. I want you to raise yourself. Any parent that allows their child to raise themselves is a very foolish parent. Not based on philosophies of man, but based on what thus saith the Lord who designed children. He designed children to be raised by a mother and a father, to see that relationship that they can look to and find to be healthy, find a father that loves their mother and finds a mother that loves their father and see a healthy relationship, that one day they will come to that place and say, I want a mother. I want a wife just like my mother was to my father. I want a husband just like my father was to my mother. Praise the Lord for that. That is my son. Give me your heart. Discipline them. Raise them. Put reins on them. But most importantly, yes, we have to raise them. We have to discipline them. We have to put reins on them. But most importantly, I have to have a desire to be what God wants me to be. Because he says, verse 26, let thine eyes observe, whether you want them to or not, they will observe my ways. I can just picture that father saying, son, I want your heart. When you come to that age, whenever that might be, and you're going to start making decisions, I want you to give me your heart, and I want you to follow my lead. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants every one of us to do? God became man, lived 33 years on this planet Earth, sometimes 2,000 years ago, to set an example for the rest of the New Testament Christianity, to have an example to look to. And his desire, as he was leading the way and setting the example, is for all of humanity, when they come to that age of accountability, to give him their hearts. Romans in chapter 10. That's getting saved. That's understanding who Jesus is and the example that he set and the sacrifices he made. Every parent ought to be set an example. Every parent ought to be willing to sacrifice. The Bible says in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, to believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, give me your heart. God says, I want your heart. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Why? Because you've given him your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hebrews in chapter 12, and we'll close. Hebrews in chapter 12. As Jesus gave us that example, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. No matter what he would sacrifice, he had joy in knowing what it was given opportunity for humanity to have. The joy of knowing, even though he despises shame, the joy of knowing, as I do this, I fulfill the penalty for sin, and I fulfill what humanity needs in order to be able to be reconciled to him, Almighty God. And so because of his sacrifices, he felt the joy in knowing that he was doing it for his children. Whatever sacrifice you make as a parent for your child, to love God and to turn out right is one that ought to bring you joy. And yes, parenting will cause sacrifices. If you're going to be the parent that God wants you to be, if you're going to raise children the way God wants you to raise them, it's going to involve sacrifices. But when you get their heart, it's well worth it. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinner against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own mind. Wow. Is it something that you want more than anything else? Parents, having the heart of your child is your first ministry. It's your first ministry. No matter what else God has called you to, it's your first and most important ministry. Have you raised them to love God? Have you raised them to give their heart to God? That's the most important thing you can do for your child. Fathers, I'm going to close by reading this poem. I love this. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other people I'll meet. I may never have the fame that other men may have, but I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. There are certain dreams that I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I'd like to accomplish before my working days are through. But the task my heart is set on is no mere passing fad. I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. It's the one job I dream of, the task I think of most. For if I fail my little girl, I've nothing else to boast. For all the wealth and fame I'd gather, my fortunes would be sad if I fail to be successful as my little girl's dad. I may never come to glory. I may never gather gold. And men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if my little girl can just grow up godly, then I'll be glad, then I'll know I've been successful as my little girl's dad. Do you have a desire to have the heart of your children? I give every head bowed, every eye closed. My son, give me thy heart. He had to give it to him. At a certain point, they'll have to, of their own free will, give it to you. But if you raise them right, have the right example before them, I believe they will. I believe they will. Give me thine heart. Heavenly Fathers, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be in church. God, I know this is the message that you wanted me to bring today, and I just pray, God, that you would use it now. There's children's lives weighing in the balance by the decisions that their parents will make. Oh, God, help us to make the right decisions, to have a desire, to have the hearts of our children. There might be someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that if that's them, that they would today give you their heart and draw upon your strength and your help to be that person that you would have them to be. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.